Hi, everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and Omnis Training proudly present No Borders, No Links, The World's J-Pop and Alternative Hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your King Baby Doc, Evan Borgo. Thank you once again for tuning in and joining me on this episode. You know them, you love them, the bros from Wicked Anime, Andrew and John Star.
They love us.
Hello.
What?
Yeah. Well, I love me. So
I love me too.
Yes. Now, normally, this is for some of you listeners out there, you'd be like, okay, this may be another average, regular collaboration, but this one's a special episode because Andrew has been given the opportunity of a lifetime. And it's not having to do with this specific episode in general, but something that's really cool. This guy is going to be going to Okinawa to film a movie.
I am.
Yeah, and he's not going to be on any of our social meets for, like, the next 2 months.
Yeah, so I'm going dark for the next 2 months, minus texts that I'm going to be sending these guys about what I'm doing and how I'm doing and where I am.
Yeah.
And all that good stuff. So they can give you the updates as they record.
Yeah.
But you will not hear from me. I will be over the ocean with a very limited kind of data plan that's international. But I am looking forward to an excellent, exciting adventure because I am literally going over there by myself and taking care of everything by myself up until I get to take a little bit of a vacation to Tokyo after the program is over, after the film project is over, I should say, and spending just a couple days in Tokyo with very specific goals in mind. So,
In layman's terms, he wants to go to the Carl's Jr. in Akihabara.
Yeah, you should eat there.
I'm staying in Akihabara. My hotel is APA in Akihabara, so when I arrive at Narita Airport, it's an hour and a half train ride over to Akihabara. Then I go right to my hotel, check in before midnight, get my room, probably walk around the streets for a little while just to see what's around. The first day I'm gonna go do all Akihabara. My first day I'm just already gonna be there. I'm gonna do Akihabara. Then my next day I'm gonna travel to Nakano Broadway. There's an awesome secondhand manga shop out there, so I'm going to look for some Elfin lead packs.
Yeah, and see change 123 for me.
Yeah, and change 123 for Jonathan. But my main goal, of course, is the whole set of Elfin lead. And
you come first on this trip.
I do. This is my trip.
This is your trip.
The third day that I'm going to be there will either be Ikebukuro for Sunshine City or Odaiba for Joyopolis. And I'm thinking Odaiba for Joyopolis. Mm. And I really, we talked about this on our show, and our show hasn't been released yet.
Yeah, that's actually kind of a funny order of things. This is technically the recording that we're doing right now is the last recording that you're going to be a part of. But right. The Wicked Anime Podcast, the last Wicked Anime that you recorded, comes out afterwards.
Yes. Right. Yeah, because this is released on Tuesday, and then your show will be released on Thursday.
Yeah. So halfway in between Akihabara and Odaiba is Meguro. And in Meguro, they have what they claim to be the world's first, largest, and only parasite museum. And I really want to try to squeeze it into my schedule.
45,000 different species of parasites are on display in this museum.
I'm going to go there and be like, I have every single one of these parasites. Right. But it sounds so cool and creepy and gross.
It's even home to the world's largest tapeworm.
That's right.
Oh, oh god, that sounds gross.
7 meters long.
What?
It's called Mia. No. So
I was gonna say, is Mickey there?
Yeah, right.
Oh, nasty.
Just somebody's right hand with a set of teeth on it.
So I'm good to go.
Yeah. Here's a question for you. You're going to be traveling by train to Akihabara.
Yes.
Are you going to be running into the absolutely compact cars carrying your luggage from the airport, like, all the way to...
Well, I'm arriving in Akihabara in the evening, mm-hmm. and I'm traveling from the airport. So the airport is literally the first stop on that railway.
Yeah.
Oh, first and last stop. So I should be able to just jump right onto the railway with no problems.
Uh-huh.
And then, but the problem will be when I have to switch over railways, because I have to switch from the Narita Airport line of subway over to the line that goes to Akihabara.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only a tiny little short switchover. I could probably even walk to Akihabara from the last stop. But I don't want to. So it'll be
carrying your luggage.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. But I'm all good to go. It's gonna be so cool because I'm gonna be in Japan by myself.
Yeah,
and that is awesome. That is so cool. I get to do literally whatever I want in a foreign country.
Bring me back a shard of a North Korean missile.
Yes.
Oh God! Please don't joke about that.
Stop
it, North Korea. Everything I love is in that country.
It's all fear. Do you seriously believe that North Korea, a country that runs off of World War II history or World War II technology, can make a hydrogen bomb small enough to fit on the tip of a ballistic missile and fire it into Japan?
No, that's a good point.
And not to mention, they would probably hit Guam before they hit Japan. Because they want to hurt America. And even though Japan is part of our allied nations, I think they're going to try to attack Guam, which is the closest U.S. territory to, which is terrible. But I think we can shoot it out of the sky if they try to.
Oh, yeah. We're definitely.
Oh, yeah. We could totally. And then Japan can call up its Gundams and Robotechs and Macross robots. And
hey, yeah. They said that they're amping up their military efforts moment.
Japan said they are. In fact, that is a news story. Yeah. Yeah. They are, but I'm not going to worry about it. You guys should not worry about it. If anything, here's my thought going into it. If I'm going to be in Okinawa, if I'm going to be in Japan, yes, there's lots of terrorist threats. Yes, there's lots of weather threats. Whatever. If I get washed away by some tsunami or blown up by some Korean missile, just remember that I am happy. Like I'm exactly where I want to be, and I got to visit where I wanted to go, and I'm happy. So.
It's an awfully terrible morbid thing to say.
It's morbidly optimistic is what that is.
Yeah, you're right.
It really is. And but I also bought insurance so that they can send my remains back to the United States.
Well, at least you have a plan B. That's good. All right, before it really goes into some morbid territory, on today's episode, besides, you know, talking about Andrew going away to Japan, we're going to be talking about a couple of series that are airing in the summer. And one show that I know Andrew has talked about in the past on Wicked Anime, but really haven't covered deeply on No Borders or Race. And for the first time ever, and I haven't done this since my college radio days, I'm actually going to be giving, in honor of him going on this trip, in honor of him going away for 2 months, I'm giving Andrew full control of this week's playlist. So, Andrew, here are the keys.
Awesome. I have those keys now. That's what happened right there. And boy, am I gonna tell you, I have some really, really interesting songs that is a very interesting peek directly into my brain.
Yeah.
Where all my artwork comes from, where all my inspiration comes from, but I haven't even scratched the surface. So if you guys are interested in more of my music, you can ask me on Wicked Anime. But I have some pretty top choices for you. And some of you guys will be familiar with some of the choices I'm choosing. But
I've spun a couple of these artists, too, on a past podcast episode.
Yeah. Yep.
And I got to say, because I did take a look at this playlist, I'm very surprised that you didn't put any Andrew WK on here.
Well, and that's the thing, is I had so many choices, but so little, not room to choose, but I had to narrow it down, you know?
Right.
And so I narrowed it down based off of who was releasing a new album and who is currently relevant, even though nobody is relevant because I listen to nothing that is popular.
Welcome to my club.
Yeah. And I'm going to give you a bit of a deep description into every song other than just the artist, the title, and the album as to why I chose each of these songs. So enjoy those as well.
Right. So before we jump into the playlist, remember, as always, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can grab just about all these records on cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, Yes Asia, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store.
Sweet. Now you can go.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now you jump into the first song.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Haven't you been on the show before?
Evan usually doesn't, so I was waiting for him to give me a cue. Anyway.
The cue was when I stopped.
So the first song that we're playing is from a band called Tub Ring. Now, Tub Ring was a band that I discovered back in the Xbox 360 era.
Yeah.
When the Xbox 360 first came out, there was a wonderful snowboarding game called Amped 3.
Oh my god, I remember that one.
It's still one of the best comically and mechanically sports games I have ever played.
It's so much fun, and it's like the story mode is like if Monty Python made a snowboarding game.
Now, I discovered a band called Tub Ring while playing that game because they were on the soundtrack. And after buying literally all of their discography and doing all of this stuff with them, I discovered that's how I got into experimental rock or avant-garde.
Yeah, and I hated them at first too.
Yeah, and I did not. I fell in love with them right away. So avant-garde, for those who don't know, avant-garde is an experimental type of music. Basically revolutionized by Mike Patton. Not for Faith No More, where Faith No More did get a little avant-garde, but Mr. Bungle, most likely.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would say the Velvet Underground were like one of the first people to do that.
It's possible, but Mike Patton was the one who just...
He's got that voice.
...made it skyrocket.
You know?
All right, so he perfected it.
Yeah. So in the... I don't have Dog Fashion Disco, which is another one of my favorite avant-garde bands on this list, and I don't have Darth Vegas, and I don't have all these other avant-garde bands, but Tub Ring is the one band that really got me into avant-garde. And this song is called The Promise Keeper off of the Zoo Hypothesis album, which is my favorite album.
Yeah.
However, Tub Ring just successfully finished their Kickstarter project for their Best of Tub Ring album and a brand new album. Now, I didn't choose a song off of their brand new album, which I have, because I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet. But this is my favorite song from Tub Ring, the song that got me into Tub Ring. Mm-hmm. And it is on their Best of vinyl, which I do have, which I am getting.
Nice.
So this is Tub Ring, The Promise Keeper.
Can you do all that you claim to? Can you just sit back? Can you survive a jury of your peers? And if I took the limelight, would it rectify all that? Would it draw the focus from your fears? Wow, freedom is a target, and the every man, a demographic, fights over
Oh, yeah.
with Deal with the Devil, the new opening theme song to the anime Kakeguri, which I freaking love that anime this season. It's so good.
It's so weird.
I'm sticking by the fact that it was in the Wicked Anime Picks of the season on our nerdyshow.com article.
It's also this song is also in the running for best opening of the year.
I will be nominating the song for our wikis.
Really?
Yes.
Even
yes,
more so than the May Dragon theme song?
I'm pretty sure you're doing Dragon Maid, Evan.
Okay.
and if you're not, then somebody else is, because I'm pretty sure Dragon Maid is going to win. Spoilers. But Deal with the Devil is in fact my nomination for this year's best opening.
Yeah.
We should note too that for our American listeners, you're going to have to wait a little while to actually watch Kakeguri because it was licensed by Netflix.
Right.
Oh yeah, but it's going to be good when it gets there, I guess.
Yeah. I'm thinking it's going to be probably, I'm going to guess March is going to be over here, because that's how long it took for
Little Witch Academia.
Yeah, Little Witch Academia to come through.
Right. Cool. Our Anime Boston Month.
Mm. Yeah, Anime Boston Month. That's going to be so much fun.
Yeah, next con month. All right.
Yeah. Anyways, the first summer anime I want to talk about. Now, first off, I'm a gamer. I'm sure Andrew and Johnstar are gamers. And I feel like a show that's called Gamers would appeal to all of us. Isn't that correct?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yes. So, for Gamers, which is actually from a new studio. Well, not new, but it's a very recent studio that opened just a couple years ago called Pine Jam. And I first recognized their work from an anime they did last year, a very short show that stated to be a lot more than I should have, which was called Maho Shoujo Nante Moi Desukara, a.k.a. The Magical Girl in a Swimsuit Anime.
Yes. And that show was absolutely hilarious.
It was hilarious. So I'm very happy that they're moving towards doing full-length anime right now.
Yeah, and I actually wrote about this anime for that Wicked Anime Picks of the Season article that we did, because I thought that the take on the characters was very unique, and they kind of poke fun at their own tropes that they usually run across, but then they also not only just poke fun at it, but they also turn them on their heads to create different character arcs that we've never seen before.
Correct. It's kind of like self-deprecating humor in some areas, too.
Right, yeah. But this show brought me back to when I was in high school myself, and all I wanted to do was play video games at the time.
I feel like that's everybody, though.
Yeah. It is kind of interesting, though, because where the show is very good, it's also very confusing about what it's trying to be.
Yeah.
Is it supposed to be 13 episodes long, or...
I think 20? It might be 13 episodes.
Yeah.
I think so, too, because it feels like where we are now is coming to a close.
And if that's the case, I'm not really sure where it's going at this point.
Right. Well, it's a fairly new light novel series because it was started just 2 years ago, so the animators probably have no idea where it's going either.
Yeah, it does seem like it's going in a light novel format where they're kind of animating a story that doesn't have an ending. I feel as though the anime is kind of losing itself, especially in the way that they introduced us to the gaming club that was in the very first episode, and those characters that are only introduced to us in the gaming club have only been shown once.
Yes.
And the new recruit for the gaming club, the kid with the gray hair, he's only been in like two other episodes.
And only for like a minute.
So I'm really like thinking to myself, where are they going with these characters, and what's the purpose of these characters?
And why are they really calling it gamers if no one's really playing like video games in the club, unless, of course, it's more towards them playing it outside of the club?
Yeah.
Or
their mutual interest in the game.
I feel like that the show should be focusing more on video games, especially because they have all these Arc System licenses.
They have so many licensed video games.
Yes!
Let's go!
Yeah, they have Guilty Gear, they got Persona 4.
Persona, like, all over the place.
They have Blaze Blue posters, mm-hmm. You know, like, they have all this real stuff going on.
The Guilty Gear stuff is really exciting.
And they're not really using it for anything.
It has some, whenever they talk about the game stuff, it's really cool. But I feel like all the relationship drama in the show could be just cleared up in an instant if one character was just like, hey, is this happening? And then somebody was like, no. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm starting to get bored with the second half of the show, to be honest with you, because of the fact that they're only focusing on these relationship things, and the comedy of Karen Tendo trying to get our main character into the gaming club was a phenomenal first arc.
which only lasted for like two episodes, but the fact that she was trying to get him into the club would have been a great premise for the show, while also she has a crush on him.
Well, and that's the thing. It's she wants to get him into the club because she has a crush on him, and that's a wonderful premise.
Yeah.
But I do like the fact that it was a situation where Keita, like most anime characters, could have like said, all right, I'll throw away my mentality, my thoughts on how to be a proper gamer and join the club because the girl is cute. No, he has standards.
Right.
And you don't ever see that, or you rarely ever see that in anime. But what I like about the show, too, is also the de-evolution of Karen Tendo, the perfect student, into the mushy mess that she becomes after she falls in love with Keita.
Yeah, just because she falls in love.
Yeah, and this is going to be... Are we going to go into spoiler territory in this episode?
We kind of already have a little bit.
We kind of have already.
So,
spoilers ahead.
Yeah, spoilers just for this next section. I loved Karen at the beginning of this series. She was wonderful. She was this quirky character with this dark hidden side to her, the fact that she's all lovey-dovey for one person, even though she rejects somebody every single day. And then she starts dating our main character. Spoilers. That's the spoiler that happens here.
Yeah, I wouldn't even worry about it.
But it's at that point where I don't like Karen anymore. And it's not because of the reason that she's not this, you know, character who's been turning people down or anything like that anymore. And they do stop that afterwards, too. You know, the love letters stop and everything like that. But she's not even really an existing character in the show anymore.
Yeah, they pushed her aside.
You really don't see her in the most recent episode. She's kind of like a background character of sorts.
And then, on top of that, what you get with Karen is you get this controlling girlfriend that, like, has the main character on a leash the entire time, who says, like, yes, sir, to her at every whim that she has, and he's afraid of her, which is, like, not what you want in a relationship.
Well,
you
there's a part of me that thinks that the reason why he's like that is because he's still awkward around women.
That's true, well, but then you get these things, though, where the second that he looks, even, like, looks at another girl is one of those people that's like, what are you looking at that other girl for? You know, like, and I don't think relationships should be like that.
No, yet. No, it shouldn't.
And it's, I think they're just trying to write in some kind of, you know, topical, comical drama for these characters, and it's just not fully making it the whole way. I still like the show, and I still enjoy watching it every time it comes out.
I fully intend on finishing it.
Yeah, I'm finishing it. I do like the character. I especially like the character of Aguri. Mm-hmm. The pink-haired
one. Yeah. I like her, too.
I think she's cute, but I think she's annoying.
I think she's cute, and I think she has this mentality as a character of, and I'm really interested to see where the relationships go, because any one of them could break up with the other at any point and then go date another person.
Yeah. I think that's the issue with it, too.
And, yeah, and
at the same time,
I feel like Aguri and our main character, Jump, I forget his name.
Keita, you mean?
And Keita, yeah. I feel like they get along so well that the story, this is just me speculating, but the story is pushing itself forward to be like, eventually these characters will be together. Even though she says I'm not interested in him, even though she says he's more like a kid brother to me, I just feel like with all of these choices ahead, that clearly these two other characters don't work together, but these characters have a great relationship with one another. Not that he's trying to steal away this other guy's girl. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
I think you're right. I honestly think that speculation is correct and that they are going to go in that direction. However, if they do, I'm going to not like it very much.
Well, because they also have Mono, the third girl.
Yeah, Chiaki.
Chiaki. And she is now being geared to be, well, in the end, Keita's going to be with her because of how she's turned a new leaf and how she now understands where Keita's coming from. But then they added her freaking sister into the thing. It's just like, here's another girl that has somewhat of an interest in him, even though he just kind of has blackmail on her because she likes to buy adult games. And
which,
she doesn't.
How is she even buying these adult games?
Yeah, like was she in middle school?
Yeah.
I don't think
12-year-old, here's a porn game for you. Enjoy. Like that's not how it works.
Yeah, and so I don't know. And I like watching it because it's entertaining, but the story is confusing, man.
Well, it is intense. Like, the whole section where Keita accidentally, like, confesses or asks Karen out, that's, like, the most intense, like, 7 minutes I've ever seen that summer.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my god, is he gonna confess? Oh my god, what if he says he's not gonna love me? Oh my god, what if a girl, why is a girl looking at me like this? Oh my god, what's my boyfriend
totally
looking at here?
Yeah.
Yeah, and, but I think that at the same time, while it was intense, it was kind of like, can we get on with it? Come on! Like, yeah. the clock keeps going back 1 minute to get
everybody's minute.
Every character's point of view, and it's just like, okay, you really don't need to do this. Come on.
It was an interesting take on it, for sure.
Lasted too long.
I bet you in the light novels, every single one of those minutes was its own chapter.
I wouldn't be too surprised, because it feels like that would have been the case in this situation. Because they fit so much into that 1 minute. It's like a long train of thought fit into like a 20-page chapter.
Yeah.
But overall, I like the show. It's fun to watch. I think the characters can be cute at times, or the girls, I should say, can be cute at times. The guys are kind of dumb. I'm really not into them. But it's entertaining overall, and I'll at least finish watching it.
Yeah, I like the first half of this series better than the second half.
I do want to say, when I was listening to the voice of Keita, because it was sounding a lot like one of my favorite voice actresses, Ryoko Shirashi, who plays Hayate in Hayate the Combat Butler.
Okay.
And at first I thought it was her. But then I look, and I find out it's Megumi Han, who does Akko in Little Witch Academia.
Really?
Really.
It's really. That's really different. So here's the weird thing, too, is that it's very rare that we see a female play a high school male. And, like, I understand Hayate the Combat Butler.
It's a very Western thing to do.
It is very Western.
It is, but typically you usually get males to play males and females to play females, unless they're children, like in Hayate the Combat Butler. But I don't really see, you don't ever see it with high school dramas.
Right.
Or comedies, whichever.
Unless the male student is like one of those like really short students.
Right. Yeah, I know. It's just a rare thing. You don't really see it that often. And I found it kind of... It's weird because I'm so used to it with American animation, but it's kind of off-putting when you see it with Japanese animation just because you don't expect it. I don't know. It's like this weird dilemma that's going on in my brain that I know that it's something that's done, but I've never seen it done in Japanese animation, therefore it's weird.
Hmm. Yeah, that is interesting.
I don't know.
Anyways, for our listeners, if you're interested in checking out Gamers, you can view it on Crunchyroll, VRV, and Funimation Now. And Funimation has a dub for it. Some of the dub choices were good, and a couple of them were kind of, how do you say, Golden Boy-ish?
I think that's that's kind of a wishy-washy statement for anybody, because from Andrew's point of view, then. I was thinking of Golden Times.
not Golden Time. I'm thinking of Golden Boy, the male protagonist who was like, oh God, oh please, oh, that kind of voice. One of the voices in Gamers for the English dub sounds like that.
Really?
Yeah. Well, when he was screaming, it was a scene where the guy was yelling, and he sounded like Golden Boy.
I don't like it when they do English dubs and the English actors think that they need to make like an anime voice, almost like they're dubbing Speed Racer from the 70s.
Yeah,
oh,
kind of archaic, I guess you could say.
Yeah, I don't know. It's define archaic for me. I don't know what that means.
Ye oldish.
Yeah, no, that's true.
All right. So, Andrew, what's next up on your playlist?
That was your cue.
Next up on the playlist, we have a band that I hold very dear in my heart called Freedom Call.
Yes.
So, another thing that I was not able to put on this list was all the power metal bands that I absolutely love.
There's so many.
I mean, you have Sabaton, which is probably one of my favorite power metal bands of all time, if not my favorite band of all time.
Mm-hmm.
You have Twilight Force, which is a epic fantasy power metal band that is the most fun I've ever had, and also quite frequently features the lead singer of Sabaton, Joakim Brodin, This is Freedom Call, though. Freedom Call was the band that I got into after Dad passed away.
Yeah. And, well, actually, it was during the same time.
Well, yeah, so... But Sabaton and Twilight Force were before Dad passed away, and they got me through a lot of really tough times and tough moments when I was sad, and power metal makes me happy.
Yeah, power metal is happy metal.
And then after Dad passed away, I started listening to a lot of Freedom Call. I was familiar with them beforehand, but afterwards, I started listening to everything Freedom Call. And they got me through a lot when I was sad, and they lift me up.
And every single, you're pulling from their album Beyond, right?
Beyond, yeah. The Beyond album, to me, is the best album that they have, or is my favorite album, because I can listen to it from beginning to end without stopping. It's the best, one of the best albums I've ever heard.
It's a fantastic CD.
Now, and every song kind of has a theme of, that's like heaven-like.
Yeah.
Like going to heaven or afterlife. Dying, afterlife. And... now, I was kind of fighting between using the song Beyond Eternity, which is a fantastic song.
Yeah, and
you should listen to it after. I would almost recommend you pause this podcast, go listen to that after you listen to this song, and then come back to the podcast. but this song is called Come On Home. And Come On Home is a song that really envelops the spirit of Freedom Call, the band, as they sing about festivities and metal, and also going to a place beyond eternity where we've longed for our entire lives.
Like a Valhalla of sorts.
Kinda. This is more for fans of power metal like me, and possibly fans of, if you have any Legends from Aramis listeners, which is the other podcast that I was featured on, which is our D&D podcast. And I also wanted to play some Freedom Call because I just missed their Tokyo show.
Ah!
So Freedom Call was playing on September 14th, twice in two different venues in Tokyo.
Wow.
And yeah. and I really was like, dang it, kind of, and but also like, oh, that's so cool they played in Tokyo. Especially because it was a smaller club, and I would have loved to have gone. But
you know, sometimes these bands will release like a Live in Tokyo show on DVD and Blu-ray. So who knows? You might find a way to watch it.
Yeah, yeah. So power metal fans. I'm a power metal fan, of course. This is Freedom Call, one of my top favorite power metal bands, and the song is "Come On Home" off the Beyond album.
の憂鬱梅雨の時期はなんかちょっとテンション下がる頑張っちゃえば夏休みだイエーイ成長期の秋に夢かなった冬に次はもっと大きな夢叶えちゃいましょう出発進行また来年日進月歩これからもつまずいたってビートライして諦めないでコンティニューして何度だって絶対前に向かって Let's go skip by step and the high jump 壁も山も飛び越えきらめく星の向こうをつかめつかめ
song Jump In Jump Up by Fourfolium, aka the whole cast of New Game. Man, I that is also a nominee for this year's wikis. Probably my nominee
the
for,
best ending
for the best ending theme song.
I agree with you.
It is so catchy.
I cannot so believe too. They changed it to that.
What the heck?
Significantly worse ending. Halfway.
Whoa! I like that song too. I actually spun that song a few weeks ago. Okay.
Well, just know that it is not as good as Jump In, Jump Up. And why did they change it off of that?
I don't know, but I like the song too.
Yeah, and I also thought it was topical because I'm going to Okinawa, and there is, in fact, an Okinawan character in New Game.
Yes.
My dark skin.
Yep, your dark skin girl.
I don't know. Hajime is kind of my waifu material.
Yeah, well, but Hajime is best girl in that show. I'm still waiting. Why have they made an android of her? I want her.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Koyagami, all the way.
Tifo. Yeah.
Well, I mean, she's cute. All the girls in New Game are cute, but some are just more cute that to some degree than others.
Yeah. So. Although I have to say, during the opening segment, like the last thing you see in New Game in the opening, where you see all the four girls of Fourfolium, when I look at Hajime in that picture, why do I feel like that she looks more like a Muppet there than an anime girl?
Oh, I'd have to watch it again. You know, I've never even really noticed.
Like, she looked like a really angry Sesame Street character.
All right, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah. But anyway, our listeners should definitely be checking out the second season of New Game. I'll say that I think it's better than the first season.
You think so?
I think so.
I'm inclined to agree with you. However, I know that this isn't our topic, but just in short, they really jumped ahead on the development of the game, and they didn't really focus on it as much as they did with Fairy Stories in the first season.
Well, maybe because they didn't want to rehash the same stuff.
It's a very possible thing, and that's very true. It's just really weird that suddenly now we're like three episodes away from the end of the season and the game's done. Like, what? Oh my gosh, how much time passed?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, our listeners should know too, that season one is coming out in November on Blu-ray and DVD.
Awesome. It's mine.
It will be mine too. All right, so the actual show that we're going to be talking about in this one, I love Monster Girls. I know Andrew and John Star love Monster Girls. Let's talk about A Centaur's Life, because this is totally different from what people would expect from Monster Girl anime.
Yeah, I mentioned this on the upcoming episode of Wicked Anime, but I've completely caught up with the Monster Musume manga.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love it. And if they're doing the same thing that they did last season, which is, hey, we have the first six volumes of Monster Musume, let's make a season out of it. Well, now they have six more volumes to make a second season out of it. And they should, because it's awesome. So,
well, they did say in the last one of the frames in the anime of the final episode of season one that said that second season confirmed. It was like hidden in the background.
Yeah,
but I know that they finished up with the OVAs, which were on the Sentai Filmworks release. So maybe next year we might get it.
Which I also want to get. I need to get that on DVD because I really, really, really love Monster Musume. Surprisingly, yeah. It was an anime I never expected to like, but I really, really, truly love.
Right, like this was one of those shows, and I know I've repeated this over and over again, where I watched it thinking this is going to be terrible. I'll just watch the first couple episodes, write up about it, and then just never speak of it ever again. And then I find myself 8 episodes in, and I'm like, why is this show so good?
Ah, oh, crap.
but speaking of monster girls that are so good, let's talk about some monster girls that are not as good.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying I don't like a Centaur's Life, but it's boring, and
that would be that you don't like it.
Well, no, but I watch it every time it comes out. You know, I just don't watch it right away. I kind of leave it until it's like, oh, I guess I'll watch a Centaur's Life today.
Yeah,
I just don't like the character designs. Yeah. They're not appealing as
you had mentioned that.
Yeah, what's the Monster Musume designer's name? Okayado?
Yeah, Okayado.
His designs are really cute and really appealing.
Yeah, but they're also sexy.
They're supposed to be sexy, which these characters are not supposed to be as sexy. They're supposed to be very gay.
Oh God.
Are they not? Like, what
well,
the
they heck? Are. Well, I think we'll touch about this in this episode. Yes.
Yeah. I'm not saying that, you know, it's a bad show because I just don't. It's not my first choice as far as there are better Monster Girl shows. Yeah. And well, I think this one is following a trend by being another Monster Girl show because Monster Girls are topical. Yeah. And it just doesn't hit the same notes as the other ones do.
Well, I'll say that where I currently am on Monster Centaur's Life is that I am still only about 7 minutes through episode 2 because I watched the first episode and I was like, whatever. And then I watched the second episode and I got 7 minutes in and it was doing the supermodel thing and I was like, I am done.
Yeah.
I just turned it off and I went to, well, gee, I don't even know what I watch. What usually comes out on Crunchyroll the same day as Centaur's Life?
Knights and Magic and Clean Speak Aoyama-kun.
Really? So nothing comes out on the same day?
Nothing we watch.
So I forfeit my anime watching on those days and in lieu of not watching Centaur's Life. So, I don't watch anything.
We should bring up the fact that you guys first heard about this through Cap.
Yeah, that's our cat from Nerdy Show.
Yeah, the only reason we know about A Centaur's Life and what it is because of one specific scene that Cap recalled while we were talking about anime at one point.
Yeah, and yeah,
it was our New Year's episode.
It was our New Year's episode, like, probably 4 years ago at this point.
Oh, jeez.
And, no, probably 3 years ago, because it was episode 31. Asimov's Laws of Robubix.
Yes, go listen to it. It's absolutely hilarious.
Anyways, Cap was listening to the episode, and Cap said that there was a scene where they went to a zoo with normal animals, and they saw animals with their junk hanging out. And the centaur has never seen her own junk because
it's all the way in her
caboose. Yeah, it's all the way in the back. She's a horse. She can't.
Yeah.
Can't do that. So they continue to innocently and no sexual manner whatsoever start, you know, checking out.
Yeah, showing each other their privates.
Parts. Just, you know, and then they snap a cell phone picture of the centaurs so that they can show her what hers looks like, which is weird.
Yeah, and it is weird because you're just like, you're watching it and you're like, this is a horse.
Not only that, but it's just like, this is a very strange topical thing to keep going on about for so long.
Well, and it's also the demographic of the show is
so tiny. Older,
it will and older men.
Well, yeah, that's
like,
true.
Like, you know, the demographic is older men. And so it's like about young high schoolers doing things, and it, I don't know, it's just really, it's such a weird demographic because, yeah, where it's not supposed to be inherently sexual, and its manner. It's just weird.
It does also, though, keep in mind, fall under the consent laws of Japan, because for those who don't know, the age of consent in Japan is 13. However, you know, sexual intercourse relations is 18.
But is that in horse years?
Well, fair point.
Da-da-da-da-da.
I'm just saying that they can show that stuff because it falls under the age of consent for their culture, which is why Elfin Lied worked at a age cap of 15.
And again, there was no sex in Elfin Lied. There was only
that's what I mean.
Yeah,
that's right. What I mean.
And don't fall down to Elfin Lied. It's a beautiful, beautiful story. But the show overall has its good points and its bad points. I think it's very boring at some points and very dark at some points.
Oh, it gets very dark.
The whole, like, World War II Nazi thing was bizarre.
Here's the thing with that is that, and I know you guys are familiar with Art Spiegelman's Mouse, because I feel like that was the closest we'll ever get to, like, an animated version of what Art Spiegelman did.
I love Mouse. I have both volumes, for my...
They sell it at one now.
Yeah.
I had a graphic novel course in college, and we read that alongside Persepolis. And those two graphic novels really stick with me as two of the very best I've ever read in my life.
Yeah, Mouse had something very deep going on in it. The imagery was great. Art Spiegelman is a fantastic storyteller, if not a little strange. But the story that he told of his grandfather was just so vivid. And almost in the same way when we read Anne Frank, you know, when we were there, it was, you know, The Diary of Anne Frank.
I never read it.
Then Mouse. I read it when it was in one of our English courses.
Yeah. So that was a really weird episode, and it was really dark. And then...
So wait, let me ask you, because I haven't seen it. What kind of Mouse... Are we talking about a history?
Yeah. No,
They flash back to the Holocaust.
Yeah, they flash back to the Holocaust, but it was with the different kinds of monster people.
Okay, so that's good to know, because I was trying to figure out whether or not it was going to be like, oh, it's like Mouse, except it took place in present day.
No, they flash back to
Then the rest of the show is just this World War II-esque Holocaust thing.
Yeah, the centaurs were the Nazis.
Really?
Yeah, and yeah. I was like, what?
I guess historically they are aggressive characters, but they're protectors. Historically, like, they are warrior characters, but they've always fought on the side of good.
Well, it was a bizarre episode, man, and they kind of split the...
Why wouldn't the devils be the one?
No, but see, that's the thing, is they split the species into, instead of being like, well, we're German, so we're Nazis, and we're cats, so we're Jewish. It was just because of their species. We're centaurs, so we're Nazis. We're cats, so we're killing cats, kind of a thing.
Huh. But there were some aspects of it too where it was like the one species hurting the exact same species too.
Yeah, I feel like we're focusing too much on this one episode. When we're talking
I feel
about
like you
joke.
Could do a whole like 2 hour like dissection of this one specific segment.
It sounds to me like you really could.
And so anyway, the show itself. We kind of touched on a couple different points as to how homosexual it is, and how innocent it is, and so touching on the topics of homosexuality that are in the show,
is it really like go to LGBTQ?
Yeah, so
it does.
There's two characters in the show that are female that are dating each other.
Oh, like Himeno and Manami.
Yeah, I actually did know that because I saw them in the second episode.
But see, here's what made me laugh is the fact that like Himeno can read her little cousin this fairy tale that ends with the princess drafting a constitution and turning her monarchy into a democracy, yet can't explain why two women would kiss one another.
Yeah, and but they do a weird thing as well where they kind of pair characters up as if they're lesbians, but it's like, oh, but they're not really lesbians. They're just being kind of gay with each other right now, you know? Haven't you noticed that?
A little bit here and there, because I did notice it when Himeno went on the date with the other, like, her fellow archer friend there.
Yeah, and but they really kind of explained that as like, oh, but that's no big deal. They just went out because she didn't want to go to the art gallery by herself. you know, but they kind of looked at it from the outside of, oh my gosh, she's going out with another girl. Is she gay? Kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And then you have the girl who is Hime's best friend, who's the little devil girl who clearly has a crush on Hime.
Kyoko. Oh, no, not Kyoko. Nozomi.
Yeah. And I really like her. I think she's my favorite character.
Mine too. I think she's like the most entertaining out of everybody.
She is, because she's got like that spunk to her.
Which one is she?
She's the little black haired devil girl.
Oh, okay.
And she's also kind of the most innocent out of all of them in some way, even though Hime is over the top moe innocent, where she's like, I don't get things. I really think Nozomi kind of has this innocent side to her where she kind of tries to act tough, and she has a job and she has responsibilities, but she still doesn't get a lot of things.
Well, it's kind of like, too, with the character of Cecil, the Antarctic snake, or whatever you want to call her, is like she's like innocent because she's an outsider and has never experienced anything that Japan has ever offered because she's living in Antarctica.
Yeah, she's just kind of like culturally ignorant, which is fine. It's kind of like me. When I'm gonna go to Japan, I'm gonna be like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm from America.
I'm a snake now.
Yeah. you know, and then people are gonna be staring at me in Japan, because I guess staring in Japan's not rude. So if they stare at you, they're just like very interested in you.
they're gonna be like,
yeah. So the show touches on so many weird things, like it's so many, a huge wide variety of topics in a very mundane way, where you have Monster Girl shows that exist like Monster Musume, where every episode is a riot and there's laughing and there's action going on and people are getting hurt and people are being sexy and whatever. And then this is just a Monster Girl show where it's literally just like, let's go to the store today.
They like, could have been humans.
Okay, we'll go. I guess we'll go to the store today.
I'm wondering if maybe the reason why we're so focused on this episode that was themed on the Holocaust, or at least we could have been, is because that probably had the most significance to the show in why they're using monster girls, right? Yeah. You know, like in any other case, they could have just made it a slice of life with normal humans, but with this particular topic, it's like, oh, they're monster girls, and this is a history behind it, so it's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, you get that whole history thing in the first episode where they talk about the evolution of humanity and about, like, how if evolution had gone from a different perspective, that humanity would have just been like us, only with different skin colors. And the thing that just still kind of makes me chuckle is the fact that she goes, because of this, because the fact that people would have just had different skin colors, racism would never exist.
Yeah, I remember that. That actually was pretty funny. But, you know.
Oh, hey, how weird was the episode with the mer people and them discussing that they're topless?
Weird, but I was kind of laughing about it. It was like, oh, this is erotic because I'm not seeing it. We get to see you naked all the time.
But the weird thing was it was so contradictory of itself, where they're like, oh, hey, you get to see our chests all the time, so it's totally normal. But they were acting like it wasn't normal because they were still staring at their chests. Like we know somebody who's from the Dominican Haiti. I want to say Haiti, where women in Haiti, they go down to the riverside to wash their clothes all the time, and they just go topless. So, and guys from Haiti are like, yeah, that's totally normal. Who cares? But and that's just a cultural thing. But to these mer people, who their females walk around shirtless all the time, and they get to see their chests, they still kind of make a big deal out of it, being like, oh, she has bigger boobs than the other one. Oh, I'm so embarrassed, and oh, stop staring. And it was weird, you know. And there was, like, sun glares everywhere.
Even in the pitch black of night, there were sun glares.
That moon reflecting off of the water, you know. So, yeah, the show touches on so many just bizarre things. Every time I watch it, I find something new to say, wow, this is bizarre.
Like, it tries to be topical, and I feel like in some areas, I feel it succeeds in, like, talking about, like, social issues in some areas, be it with, like, racism or even with like different cultures. But I do have to admit that there are some like crazy out of nowhere sort of concepts that this show presents. Most specifically, like you were talking about the Myrrh Girl episode, and she does the song, and all of a sudden this big giant thing pops out of nowhere, and they all freak out, and that's the end of the episode.
Oh man, that was weird. That was
like that. I will admit that that was strange.
Yeah, it was. So overall, Centaur's Life, I'll watch it. It can be cute every once in a while, but otherwise it's just bizarre.
I do like it. I do enjoy it. So I don't know where it's going to be going for the final couple episodes. It's hard for me to truly point out why I find it enjoyable. But in some cases, like, I find it to be just a little bit educational from more of a world history of theirs compared to the world history of real life.
Right.
Probably that's what I like most about the show, is that it tries to bring a slice of life that truly is slice of life, because when you look at slice of life shows from Japan, it's always humor, it's always comedy. You barely ever see anything that's like really, truly dramatic. And A Centaur's Life actually goes through that dramatic aspect that you don't see in most of these other shows.
Yeah.
So, for our listeners, if you are interested in watching A Centaur's Life, like Gabers, you can watch it on Crunchyroll, VRV, and I think Funimation now. I don't know if it's being simuldubbed, but it is being licensed by Funimation. Make your own opinion on it.
So next up on our song list is Rabbit Junk. And a lot of people, whenever I tell them that I listen to a band called Rabbit Junk, they go, "You listen to a band called Rabbit Junk?" And it usually sounds exactly like that. So this is Rabbit Junk. Rabbit Junk was a band that I discovered through Google Play because I was listening to the Tubbering channel, and they're kind of bizarre, and so I get a lot of really bizarre bands off of this. And Rabbit Junk has been around for a long time. It's headed by a gentleman named J.P. Anderson, and his wife, who does some mixing and backing vocals, and they create Rabbit Junk. And he, J.P. Anderson, does everything. Mm-hmm. He does all the drums, he does all the guitars, he does all the keys, he does all the engineering. He has a live band that follows him out and plays live with him, so that he doesn't have to play all those stuff by himself. He's incredibly talented. He also has a couple other band projects called Outer God, spelled with a V instead of a U. The Shizit, I believe, was his first band before Rabbit Junk. So this song that I bring to you is called Break Shins to This. And this is off of the remastered album. Break Shins to This was a single that he released, and then he released an entire album that was all remasterings of all of his singles, which was really good.
Right, singles from the Lost Years.
Yep. The reason why I'm bringing you Rabbit Junk today is because J.P. Anderson is working on a new album right now. He actually just released a new remix album from Rabbit Junk songs, but the new album itself is coming out very soon. He said it's probably about halfway done with the new album. So it'll either be out by the end of this year or very early next year, which I'm super excited about, because Rabbit Junk has also come to the top as one of my favorite digital hardcore bands. Now, if you guys are interested in Rabbit Junk, you'll find that every single one of his songs is a very different genre, because he's very conceptual and very experimental with his music, but it is mostly surrounded by digital hardcore. So this is Break Shins to This by Rabbit Junk.
Drop it, you measure my soul, then run me. やったりの良い綺麗な嘘と隙間埋める歪んだ真実、何が良くて何が悪いのか、真実はいつもパラドックス、一つの時代が終わりを告げて
the song World Order by the band World Order. Now, the reason why I chose World Order for this band was because this band reminds me of Japan as a whole. For some reason, there's a lot of Japanese bands out there, and for the most part, I do like Japanese music, but I don't love Japanese music as one of my favorite types of music to listen to.
Right, it's not like how I am with No Borders or Race, like showcasing all the artists.
Yeah, but this band, World Order, they have this weird shtick where they're very visual with their music. Go watch the music video for this song, World Order, and it's pretty much their introduction to who they were when they first came out. And they do these weird synchronized robot dances. It's amazing. And they walk around the city in business suits and they shoot guerrilla style. So life moves on around them. People walk in front of the cameras while they're filming. Little kids are interacting with them in the World Order video while they're doing it. It's really cool. And so they shoot their videos guerrilla style while doing these awesome dance moves that are like very robotic. But this song in particular, I heard very early on when I was getting into anime and Japanese culture. So this song reminds me of Japan as a whole, and that's really why I wanted to play it today.
Nice. And, you know, this is a band I personally have never heard of, so thank you for bringing it to my attention.
Really?
You've never really? Heard of World Order?
I have never heard of World Order.
Then you have to watch this video, Evan, because you will love it.
Yeah, I'm actually really surprised, because I feel like that they made an appearance on something like America's Got Talent at some point.
Something like that. I think you're right, but I don't remember what it was.
That there was one episode, this is going to date us way back to when we would watch reality TV with our dad all the time. They were on a season of The Amazing Race when they went to Japan, and there was a challenge where the contestants in The Amazing Race had to do a synchronized world order dance in order to go on to the next country. So I remember them the most from there, but I could have sworn that I've seen them on a dance show. Oh, it could have been on one of those MTV crew dance shows where So, because they're technically a dance crew.
But it's led by one guy. Like, the lead guy is the same on every single album.
Yeah.
But World Order, the dancers behind him, keep getting bigger and bigger in numbers.
Really?
Like, it fluctuates.
Interesting.
So there's more members at one point, then there's less members, and they keep switching out, as far as I know. Every time I watch a music video, sometimes I don't usually see the same people in the band.
Hmm.
But it's really cool. It's a really cool concept, but it's mostly headed by the singer, who's the lead guy. Yeah. So, Evan, I highly recommend at least watch the World Order video.
Okay.
Because that's the one that I started on. But there's also a music video called World Order Goes to New York. And it's a video of them shooting a guerrilla-style music video in New York.
Mm. All right. Definitely have to check that out. Nice. All right. So, the final show that we're going to be talking about, and this was a program that I know Andrew has talked about quite frequently on Wicked Anime, but I finally had a chance to watch it while I was on vacation, and this was a show from Production IG back in 2013 called Gargantia on the Verdurious Planet. I hope I pronounced that correctly.
I think it's Virtuous Planet.
Virtuous? Virtuous? Because...
I don't know.
So, this show, like, it spawned OVAs, manga, light novels, and it's written by Gen Urobuchi, who did Madoka Magica, Thunderbolt Fantasy, and Psycho Pass.
Yeah, you were right. Virtuous.
Virtuous?
Virtuous.
Virtuous.
Yeah.
How dare they choose an English word that I have never ever heard of.
That's right. Yes, you're correct, Evan. It has a ton of different properties, and unfortunately, the first season was popular, but not popular enough so that we could get ourselves our own second season of it, which sucks because
they had announced they were going to do a second season, but they were like, nope, unfortunately, due to unforeseen circumstances, the season's now going to be light novels.
Yeah, and which is cool, but I'm not going to read light novels. Maybe I will, but I really wanted to find out what was going to happen with the characters and what was going to happen with their relationships with each other and where, you know, the planet was going. The first season alone does make some pretty amazing discoveries as to the world and what's happening within the world and who the good guys are and who the bad guys are. And the development of this kid who comes to this mysterious planet that he's never seen or heard of.
Right.
And yeah, it's very cool. And then his relationship with Amy as they grow closer and him being a foreigner, you know?
And kind of becoming a big brother to the brother, Bebel.
Yes, that's right. And I have tons of figurines. No, I shouldn't say tons, but I do have a good amount of figurines, rare figurines, I should say, of Amy from the show because I thought she was absolutely adorable. I have a very special place in my heart for that show.
What I found really impressive about the show is that despite the fact of being, you know, a sci-fi kind of show, it did touch upon various issues that are very relatable to the current times. Like, for example, like the whole Earth being succumbed underwater could be like a reference to like climate change.
Yeah, and
or Waterworld.
Yeah, or Waterworld. We love Kevin Costner. Mm-hmm. It was really a really nice story, and then I loved the pirates that came into it, the pirate characters, and then I loved, what's her name? Bellum was her name? The engineer chick?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Bellows. Yeah. So, you know, Amy was a really cool girl, but then you had the older characters like Bellows and the Captain, who I really enjoyed their story and their development of these characters. It was just a very character-driven show. And the fact that it was character-driven makes me love it. I love character-driven media. It makes it awesome. I'm very into it.
Yeah, what I liked about it was about how, like, the character of Leto, who from, like, probably from birth to until he crashed onto Earth, he was, like, he ate, he slept, he breathed being a soldier. He couldn't be anything else. And then suddenly he's pushed into society, and he's learning to be a human again.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of which, it actually kind of sounds like the movie Soldier.
With
Kurt Russell.
Yeah, Kurt Russell's Soldier.
If you haven't seen that, that's a pretty good movie.
It's okay. It's a Kurt Russell movie, so it's good, but it's not that great. Another thing that you mentioned were the OVAs. So we got the first season on DVD here in America, but the OVAs have been untouched entirely. The only way I was ever able to see the OVAs was by downloading them. And even by me downloading them, they're in terrible quality and they are in broken subtitles. But it was the only way I was able to see them. And they also introduced a new character and kind of a short story arc to it with in two movies. And there was one OVA that came out that was part of the first season, I believe. But then two movies spawned from that, and they were very good. And I'm really, really kind of disappointed and upset that we never even got it. Yeah. Like that's not cool.
Now let me ask: did you watch it in Japanese only, or did you also watch it in English?
I have not seen it in English yet.
Because I watched it in English.
Really?
Yeah, it was very good. Like the person who voiced Leto, Alan Lee. It kind of started out. He kind of was robotic at first, but I felt like it fit with the whole soldier persona. But as the series progressed, he got better and better and better. The person who played Amy, Cassandra Lee Moore, she got that right peppy sort of cheerful attitude in her. Michelle Ruff, who we got to interview this year, she played Bebel, and she really did a good job with the character. The one that really made me laugh the most was the person who played Leto's Chamber, and that was Matt Mercer.
Really? Matt Mercer played Chamber?
Yep, Matt Mercer played Chamber.
That's freaking cool.
I feel like the there's a really funny part. I don't know if they did this in the Japanese version, because I only watched it in the English version, but there's the scene where Chamber is fighting Kugel's, like, robot thing, and the Chamber literally says "Go to hell" to it.
did they do the thing in the first episode when Leto kind of kidnaps Amy and has him thrown over the shoulder, and she's just talking in her unknown voice, and Leto's like, "What the heck is she saying?" And Chamber's just like, she's just screaming a bunch of expletives at you.
Yes, actually, that's something that they did back and forth through the first, like, four or five episodes. Like, the characters would be speaking in English, and then all of a sudden, at a snap, like, when they talk to one another, they're speaking in weird, like, non-realistic language. I want to say, because when I was looking at the written language on a lot of the books, it looked Khmer.
Oh, yeah?
Like the Cambodian language. So I don't want to say that they were speaking Cambodian, but they were trying to make it sound something that was really foreign.
Right. Being in a show that I watched a really long time ago, I still haven't bought it on DVD yet.
Really?
But I have had it in my wish list forever. And it keeps fluctuating its price. Actually, let me kind of take a look at that, because I'm really, really interested.
The last time I checked, it was like $48.
Yeah, and I've been really in this power struggle with it being between, you know, let's see, Blu-ray in stock. What do you got for me, Blu-ray DVD combo pack? $53.
Seriously? I just looked at it a few hours ago and went up?
I guess so.
Yikes.
And it is sold by Amazon.com still, so that's good, because I really do want to buy it, because I really love the show, man. Especially because I have so much
Amy merch.
Yeah, so much merch from it. You know, it's just, it's awesome. I love the show.
Yeah, it is an excellent program, and I felt like it was very underrated, because, like, I hadn't heard of it until you were talking about it, and I feel like more people should give it a should definitely be giving it a watch, especially when, for like the last few episodes, when you find out about the Helios and like what they really are, and it just really turns the perspective of the show completely upside down.
Yes. So for those of you out there, if you haven't watched it yet, since we were talking about it back in the Sean days when Sean was on Wicked Anime, because he was watching it at the same time, that we highly recommend Gargantia to you.
And if you don't want to buy it first but want to watch it first, you can see it on Netflix, Hulu, Crunchyroll, and VRV. So you have four different places you can watch it. I'm sure you have at least one of those.
That's right.
Andrew, what's next on our playlist?
Well, Evan, next up on the list should be a band that everybody is very familiar with if they're fans of Wicked Anime. And I do, in fact, know that some Wicked Anime fans have, in fact, bought this album because we introduced it to them. And that is the Rise of the North Star album, Welcome. And I'm playing the song Welcome from Rise of the North Star. It was my favorite album of the year in 2014, I believe it was. I don't remember.
It might have been. Yeah, 2014.
Whenever the Welcome album came out, that was my album of the year. It was so different, you know, and the reason why I want to play Rise of the North Star today is not only in the spirit of Japanese and anime and shonen manga, but because Rise of the North Star is in the studio right now recording their second full album release. How exciting is that?
And they did comment to me that they are planning a U.S. tour sometime soon. So hopefully the second album will
be. Are you serious? That's
yes, because I had awesome. Commented because they had been like they were in other parts of Europe and in Japan and Asia. And I think they did a couple shows in Africa. And I'm like, U.S. tour question mark. And they said in the works.
Yes. Yeah, we gotta get some Rise of the North Star over here in the States. Because, man.
However it's going to be, like, even if they're playing at some metal festival and they're the only band we're interested in, we have to go.
Well, that's kind of how it was when we went to go see...
Sabaton,
yeah. I mean, I knew who some of the other bands were when I was going to see Sabaton. But, man, I loved every single minute of that festival, even though I was only there to see Sabaton.
Yeah.
So yeah, I hope you guys... If you guys already know Rise of the North Star through Wicked Anime, or if this is the first time you're hearing... it because you're new to Evan's show, even though we talk about him all the time. Here is the song Welcome from Rise of the North Star.
Never on the way, they are underdone. Get him in the dead, goes black, just core. Fulfill your sign, is in my
the Ivan Polka by Korpiklaani. I hope you guys appreciated the absolute Japanese meme that we just threw at you, because even though it wasn't a Japanese song, which Evan traditionally has on his show, it certainly is a well-grounded song in Japanese culture and Japanese memeing.
Specifically the Vocaloid side.
Yeah, Vocaloid and the original Orihime leak spin, to which the original song was sung to. Korpiklaani was one of those bands that I actually discovered Korpiklaani through finding this version of this song. And then it just wildly spun out of control where I was like, oh my gosh, Finnish folk metal is awesome. And I like just listen to Korpiklaani. They're so fun. They're so great to listen to.
Well, not just Finnish. The whole Scandinavian area of folk metal over there is just spectacular.
Yeah, they're really fun. You have a bunch of crazy bands. But Korpiklaani is definitely my favorite. And I have a 50-plus song playlist that I just listen to from start to finish and just let them go. So, Korpiklaani, everybody, they're in your musics, stealing your memes.
Well, folks, we are wrapping things up on this episode of No Borders Erased. But before we go, Andrew, do you have any final thoughts before you head onto that plane towards that great nation of Japan?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to finding out what Okinawa is going to be like, mostly because it was one of those locations where it's like, hey, it's a part of Japan and I would really like to check it out. But if you're going to vacation to Japan, it's just going to be mainland Japan. And then when are you going to have time to take a 2-hour flight over to Okinawa and then go back to mainland Japan? You know? So this project, this film that I'm going to be on, is really giving me a huge opportunity to go to a part of Japan that I probably would have never have gone to in the first place. But then also giving me the opportunity to be like, hey, you're already there. Just go over to Tokyo for a couple days. The guy that who's going to be meeting me over there, I went to lunch with him one day, and that's what he told me. I was just like, man, I would love, like, Japan has always been fascinating to me, and I've always wanted to go, and the fact that I get a piece of this is really great. And then he looks at me, and he's like, why don't you just go? I was like, what? He's like, yeah, just after the project's over, you don't have to go back to work until the 13th. I was like, why don't you spend a few days in Japan? And I looked at him weird, and I was just like, I think I'm going to do that, you know? So I'm going to spend, you know, my time in Akihabara, and we've already gotten requests from people all around the Wicked Anime community of, hey, get me this. Hey, I want to see this and that. And, you know, everybody's like, take lots of pictures, and you guys can guarantee I'll be taking lots and lots of pictures of my own adventures. I even installed an app on my iPad Pro called Google, or I believe it's called YouTube Capture. It's either Google Capture or YouTube Capture.
YouTube Capture.
And I linked the Wicked Anime account directly to it so that I can film everything that I see while I'm there and just throw it directly up on the website, onto the Wicked Anime YouTube page. So you guys can keep an eye on that and see if I'm uploading anything. I can't guarantee that I will because I have to work off of Wi-Fi. But it makes it very accessible for me to just throw up some walking around videos while I'm there. I'm also going to make some stops in some cool nerd stores. I'm going to bring back some souvenirs. Most of my souvenirs for people will be in the form of gachapons. I'm going to go to that ever famous store that I've always wanted to go to ever since I discovered it on the internet, which is a store that's filled with nothing but gachapon machines, and go get some specific characters and shows and stuff for people that I see. And it's the easiest kind of souvenir to bring back, for sure. It's just a tiny little gachapon thing.
Yeah, because they're nice and tiny.
Yep. So that's why I booked my hotel right in Akihabara, so I can walk right over day in and day out. And Akihabara is open till like midnight, so I don't have to stop right away.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing for your wallet.
Yeah, I don't know either, but I'm not too worried about it because, you know, to be completely honest, even though I'm planning on going back to Tokyo on vacation for 2 or 3 weeks at one point, either next spring or next summer, I don't know what life is going to look like, and I don't know if I'll ever be able to go back, you know? So I'm going to make the most of this opportunity, even though I'm only going to be there for 3 full days, and just do my best to see whatever I want to see. That's why I have a very specific schedule that I'm going to be on. You know, I'm watching shows like Tokyo Eye and all the Japanese travel shows on the NHK really help me out to kind of see what it's like to be there but not actually have been there, but I still know exactly where I'm going, you know? Experiencing it through the eyes of other people, almost.
Yes.
And so I feel like I'm ready to just kind of go around by myself. I'm going to be over there by myself. I can do whatever I want. How cool is that? I'm so excited.
You can do whatever you want by legal standards, specifically.
By legal standards. And I mean, you know me. I'm going to keep it legal regardless.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know. I'm just making a joke.
I probably won't even drink anything while I'm over there. Like, I mean, drinks, you know, like, yeah. Going to a bar just seems kind of stressful to me, because it's just like, how are you supposed to order stuff at a bar if you can't speak Japanese?
So. Oh, man, you should go to one of those hostess clubs.
No, thanks.
All right. Fair enough. What about, I know this kind of goes against my whole idol mentality thing, but you should check out the headquarters of AKB48.
Yeah, and see if they're doing a quick show of AKB48. Just kind of go in and watch AKB48 do a short performance. Yeah. I might look into that. There's a lot of things that I'm going to look into. I know that there were actually, in fact, some shows going on over there. Not music shows or anything like that, but shows that happen. And I think one of the things I wanted to check out was Robot Restaurant.
Yes! one of my friends was telling me about that place. He said it's amazing.
Yeah, it's right in... It's like not even half a mile from where I'm staying. So I'm probably going to go check out Robot Restaurant. They have a show every single night. And that might be one of my experiences. I'll let you know, guys.
Awesome. Now, before we go, I know we have... Yeah, the next episode of Wicked Anime that's coming up this Thursday. So I know you touched a little bit about it, but what else is going to be happening on that show?
We have our buddy Jeff from Legends from Aramis podcast on that show. And Victoria returns, because Victoria can now be practically a full-time Wicked Anime member with her new work hours.
Yay!
So she's gonna be so she's going to be filling in a lot while I'm gone, which is great. Yeah. I think you guys are going to make some awesome podcasts together while I'm not here. And you guys can – maybe you guys can do a new segment of the show, like the Andrew update.
The Andrew update.
The Andrew update.
So that would be fun.
Baka Gaijin with Andrew.
Yeah. So we'll look into that, and you guys can hear us talk about more about my Japan trip, more about the itinerary and where I'm going, and weird things, weird places to visit while I'm there in a very close proximity to me.
Yeah, we found some pretty weird stuff.
Including the Parasite Museum.
Yeah, that we talked about earlier. So.
Yeah, the updates are going to be like, day 7, there are still no cat girls here. What the hell, Japan?
I am still not married to a cat girl yet.
I am, however, a wolf poisoner PhD.
I'm not going to even ask what that is.
That joke will be relevant when you hear the next episode of Wicked Anime.
I know.
Okay, good to know. So for my listeners, too, just to give them a heads up, next week, well, this coming Saturday, we will be at the Boston Festival of Indie Games. Myself and our buddy Derek D-Rock will be checking out all the new indie game titles and tabletop games. I'm very excited to check this out, especially with bringing a friend along to give the co-op a chance. It's going to be fun, and hopefully next week you'll hear some great interviews from those people.
Yeah, I'm actually really disappointed that I don't get to go to that. I do have alternate plans, and this actually would have been the opportune year to go, because you're not going to be here, Andrew. Well,
and the thing is, too, is Jen from Legends from Aramis, she's planning on going.
Is she?
So you could have met her.
Yeah, that's all right. I got a soccer game to go to for my little bro, and he's just getting into sports and stuff like that, so I wanted to go support him. So
thanks a lot, little bro.
Thanks a lot, little bro.
All right, so for our listeners, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bash Brigade, of course, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you're in a band and want to be featured on our show, write to us at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com. Follow me on Twitter at KingBabyDuckESH. Same with Aminos, the J-pop video games and anime ones, KingBabyDuckESH. Like us on Facebook.com/BostonBashBrigade and Facebook.com/LandOfEsh. And don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Esh, including The Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, Smash Rook, and Nerd Crave. And boys, where can they find Wicked Anime?
So, for Wicked Anime, if you want to join in on this conversation and take control of some Wicked Anime-ness and Andrew going to Japan, me, you can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews, all one word, @gmail.com. You can also find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where we post all of our episodes, news and updates, and funny things that we find around the internet, where you can also talk to us over there. If you want to listen to the Wicked Anime podcast, you can find us at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime, where you can find our podcast and our videos. The podcast is also available at SoundCloud and iTunes and Stitcher and Google Play and wherever you get podcasts from.
Audio Boom.
Yep. And, of course, you can find our videos over on nerdyshow.com/wickedanime, but you can find even more of that content over at YouTube, where you can subscribe to us and get our videos all the time. Especially with me going over to Japan, I'm hoping to click, you know, over a quick video right from my iPad.
I would love that, because then our channel would show some activity without me having to do any work at all.
Yeah, I mean, and
it's the most ideal thing ever.
And it can be lazy because it's just a video vlog.
Yeah.
So, hopefully...
Easy YouTube money.
Yeah, so hopefully... hopefully that will be a thing. Hopefully I can get some Japanese videos going, some Akihabara walkthroughs, some quick pictures to you guys.
You should try to interview people on the street.
You should get right up into those cafe maids' faces and take a selfie with them.
With my big with my big ass iPad Pro, which is like...
Smile.
Yeah.
That's how they say smile in Japanese, right?
Egaho.
Well, remember, there's some restaurants where you can ask for a smile for free.
you guys just totally ruined my train of thought. Great.
Sorry.
No, that's all right.
We're at YouTube.
Yeah, I know. You can also find us at all the other social medias. You can find us at Tumblr, which is at wickedanime.tumblr.com. You can also find us at Twitter and tweet us at @YoWickedAnime. I will most likely not be on Twitter while I'm gone, so hopefully Jonathan can keep up with that.
I will. I'll just tweet every single day, Andrew's still not here.
Yeah. So, and then you can find us at Wicked Anna Play, which, oh my gosh, you guys, I'm going to be away when Senran Kagura arrives at my house.
Yep.
Like, what the heck?
It's all right. I'll be sure to let our grandparents know to go over and get it and bring it into the house. They can open it up and they can check out your special edition stuff, tell you what cards you got, and then it'll be good. I will then let you know what was in the box.
Hey, you're getting your own copy.
I am. Actually, I'm not getting my own copy. Evan's getting my own copy, and I am promptly buying it off of him because
Evan got a freebie. And so I can't believe that. I got the update on my phone from Amazon being like, here's your update on Senran Kagura pre-order. You're getting it on September 26th. I'll be like, wow, I'm going to be in Taiwan for 2 days. So, Jonathan, shoot me a text when I get it, and don't open it.
I'm going to open the box, and I'm going to press it to my face, and I'm going to send you a selfie.
Yep. Don't you dare open my special edition.
I am. I'm going to open up the art book, and I'm going to lick every page, and I'm going to send you a selfie of me licking every page.
I will mess you up.
Yeah.
So bad.
Just note that when I give it to you, we'll have to open it together so we can... We'll have to do an unboxing video for it then.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be awesome. That's such a good idea. Anyway, I believe that is everything. You can find us at Wicked Anna Play because I will not be here, but we will have Senran Kagura, and we will most likely be Wicked Anna playing it.
Yeah.
Because Senran Kagura is our, for some reason, is our jam.
Yeah.
As far as, and we have a whole bunch of fans on Wicked Anime who will probably be playing with us.
It will be their jam as well.
So look forward to that. Actually, if you guys can do live Twitch of it, I can watch it.
You can watch it.
I can watch it from Japan.
That's true. 16 hours later, though.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. And so that is everything.
Yep, that is everything. So for the final song, the keys are still in your hand, Andrew. So
they are.
How are we ending this episode?
I still have these keys over here.
Oh, wow. Magic.
So the final song that we will be playing for you today is a band that I recognize as probably my favorite band on the face of the planet, at least in the electronic genre. It's a band called Grendel. And I've been listening to Grendel since high school, my high school ages, since the Harsh Generation album. And it's a completely independent band from the Netherlands run by one guy. His name is JD. And he's super, super, super talented at creating great electronic beats mixed with harsh EBM. And he also is one of those guys, he engineers everything, but has a live band that he travels with when he goes on tour. He is also releasing a new album. And he's also rumored that his new album may be re-released next month in October.
Wow.
While I'm away, and I'm very upset. And it is called the new album is called Grendel, The Age of the Disposable Body. And I promptly went onto Instagram and told JD, my non-disposable body is ready. So if you want to take a look at my artwork, Grendel is the main force behind my cyberpunk artwork, why I love cyberpunk so much, my inspiration to do art. And this album that I'm playing to you is the last full EP that he released called Time Wave Zero. The song that we're playing for you is appropriately Time Wave Zero. But for me, Harsh Generation is such a wonderful album, and he evolves his sound every single album that he releases. So go give Grendel a listen, guys, and we're going to play you some Grendel right now as we leave the show. So, Evan, you can say your thing before we sign off and start playing Time Wave Zero, but this is Grendel with Time Wave Zero. Go ahead, Evan.
Yes, and thank you once again, Andrew and John Star, for joining me here on this episode. So, until next time, this is your King Baby Duck, Evan Borgo.
Andrew from Wicked Anime.
John Star from Wicked Anime.
Reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard. But it sure helps.
You don't have to be from Japan either.
You don't have to be from Japan either.
Hey, what'd you do to the world?
Turned it off.
Well, put it back!
I see the world opening up and swallowing us all.
Hey guys, this is Evan Borgo from the Electric Sisterhood and host of the No Borders, No Race podcast. What you hear each week on our show is but a mere taste of what you can expect from these talented artists from Japan, America, Europe, and the rest of the world. So if you enjoyed something from this week's selections, go to cdjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, or your local record store to help give these artists your support. We always give our readers and listeners the links to the albums from the respective songs we've spun. So if something resonated with you, give that album name a click and get that record in your possession. Who knows? That one album purchase may help to bring your favorite J-pop artist one step closer to your town. So until next time, keep your volume dimed out and remember to spread the Japanese music revolution wherever your roads take you.